Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa 'ala Allahi tawakkalna. Subhana rabbika rabbil 'izzati 'amma yasifun. Assalamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. So alhamdulillah, we've continued our Team Fajr theme for the many months now, alhamdulillah. And everybody should kind of reflect and how they're progressing. Because now it's been at least 7, 8, 9 months perhaps since we started. And the idea is not just to hear a lecture or some bayan, but rather to refresh our connection with Allah Ta'ala and see how we can call upon Him with His different beautiful names, which previously for most of us, was just another name without necessarily the meaning behind it. And since these names are found in the Quran and the Hadith, we have come across it many times in our recitation, when we listen to Qira'at, when we read Hadith, when we read our daily du'as. Right? So now, the next time a particular name comes, we say, are we thinking about that name? And if we knew one meaning, perhaps we learned another meaning. So that's something that we need to reflect on, because after all of this, if it's not showing that, or we're not connecting deeper, then we're missing something here. So this name, Al-Wakil, this was the name that I left off last time. I didn't have time to continue, so I'll continue from there. It comes 14 times in the Quran, and the word comes from wakala or waw kaf lam, and this word comes about 70 times in the Quran, something of this meaning. So if you're able to unlock this particular name, for example, then at least 14 places in the Quran, you should have a greater appreciation of what Allah Ta'ala is saying, or the fact that Allah Ta'ala is using His beautiful name in that ayah, as well as the other places where tawakkul is used, or some other form of this waw, kaf, and lam. So waw, kaf, and lam has this meaning of trust, of reliance. Wakala is to hand over your affairs to someone, to hand over your affairs. So this is a very important concept for us, because trust is like a backbone of society. Trust is a backbone of family. Trust is a backbone of business. If you have some type of deficiency in the trust, then that interaction becomes very, very challenging. Right? If you are not, you're going into a business transaction with a person, and there's no trust there, then you are ready to defend yourself. You're ready to always worry about yourself and not necessarily worry about the other person. If there's no trust in the family, then you're always worried about, you know, what will this person do? I have to make sure that I'm managing this person, or I'm preventing this person from harming himself or herself or myself. Right? So the lack of trust is a very major concern for us. When we do the government, right? Even if you have lack of trust, then it breaks down to society. So this concept of trust is quite important. And Allah Ta'ala has mentioned many places with this verb. We've had tawakkul connected, mutawakkilun, right? Those people that have trust. Some of the places here where the ayah is mentioned, alallahi tawakkalna, alallahi tawakkalna. In Allah we trust. In Allah we trust. Right? We have on the dollar bill, in God we trust. Well, we have a specific same thing in our deen. In Allah we trust. Right? So there, it's a major, major piece of our belief, right? That's why even the non-Muslims, they have that on the dollar bill, for example. So we have وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَعَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. In him I put my trust, and in him let the faithful put their trust. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they put their trust in their Lord. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And put your trust in Allah, and Allah is sufficient as a trustee of affairs. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Surely Allah loves those who trust in Him. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And Allah alone is sufficient as an aid for us, and He is the best trustee of affairs. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whoever trusts in Allah, then He is sufficient for him. Some of the ayat that we may constantly hear, this حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ is one of the adhkar we do. So the next time we do that, which will inshallah be at the end of the gathering, we should have a greater appreciation, for example. Because Hasib, we've already covered before. The one that is sufficient. And now if we unlock a wakil, hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, then it should be a little bit more than just an exercise of the tongue. It should be something that we are now actively engaging in. And this azkar is a part of us. And we'll use it now, as well as all the other situations where this adhkar would be most appropriate. Which is many times, many places, all throughout the day. So that connection that we have, if we can make it, subhanAllah, that is how we build our connection with Allah. It doesn't happen overnight, it's like a switch. You just like, you know, now I have no connection, now I have a connection. Right? This is like what we would like, what we'd like. We just click the button and all of a sudden we're connected to Allah. We click the button, we're going to the next level of Jannah. It's a gradual process. It's something we have to train ourselves. We have to work on ourselves day in and day out. Day in and day out. So Allah Ta'ala is Al-Wakil. Some have mentioned here that how can we translate this? So in different places, this is how it's been translated. I just gathered together. Al-Wakil, he is the greatest recourse which man will ever know. Al-Wakil, the ultimate trustee who never fails the reliant. Al-Wakil, one who discharges his affairs in an unhindered manner. Al-Wakil, the one who actively encourages his creation to hand over their affairs to him in complete reliance. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, ذَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّهُ خَالِكُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَاعْبُدُوهُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٌ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٌ. That is Allah, your Lord. None has the right to be worshipped except Him, the creator of all things. So worship Him. And He is wakil over all things. He is wakil over all things. What are all things? That includes us, mankind, jinn, angels, insects, animate, inanimate objects, tangible, intangible, as well as the seen and unseen worlds. That covers everything. So He's wakil over everything. All of these qualities, He is the disposer of affairs. He is the one that is ultimate trustee, that we entrust our affairs to Him. We entrust our affairs to Him. So Imam Ghazali, rahimullah, he's mentioned a few things so we can compare between a wakil, a person we trust in this world, and Allah, al-wakil. So he says, the wakil is he who is entrusted with matters to discharge. But they are of two types. The first, a wakil who has some matters entrusted to him, and this is a deficiency. The second, a wakil who has matters, all matters entrusted to him, and this belongs to Allah alone. So when we say we trust somebody, that is, you know, in a person, that person that we're giving our trust to, that person is a wakil in this dunya. But you know, you ask yourself, how much of trust are you giving him? How much are you entrusting him with? Right, so when I was younger, like we would have to have a power attorney for these things that in transactions between, you know, foreign lands and over here, and somebody would authorize. And that letter, I remember my father and others, well, they would be so important. Why? Because we're authorizing him to do something on our behalf. And they would have to get it notarized. And they'd have to think like, exactly only that one affair, one matter that they have authority over and nothing else. Right? Because the moment that you give access to your bank account or access for them to dispose your affairs, who knows what's going to happen? Right? So you are very particular. I can only give them in this one limited capacity. Right? So the way that we interact with others is always like this. We are never ready to give anything to them. Right? So that trust is very limited in the way that we give. So we'll never give anything more than that amount of access that's required. Right? In the IT world, it's always about access control. Like, how can you give? You don't want to give anybody access to everything, right? Even as an employee. And the levels of employee, there's trust until, you know, only a few people have access to everything. And even then there's backup. So we are very particular about who we entrust our affairs to. But Allah Ta'ala bin al-Wakil, he's mentioned we entrust all of our affairs to him. So that's going to be a big difference between the Wakil of the dunya and al-Wakil. Furthermore, Imam Ghazali says, trustees are another two types. The first, a person who is entrusted with matters when appointed by others. This is a form of deficiency, as his position of trustee requires authorization from others. The second, one who is innately worthy of being a trustee of all things, and thus hearts are reliant upon him, despite him not needing anyone's authorization. This is the ultimate trustee, and this is only al-wakil Allah. Like we said, that we'll never authorize a person if we don't believe in him, right? Or we are forced to do so, perhaps in some cases. Most of the time, we will have to believe and trust in him. So that person needs the authorization. He can't just come by, I will handle your business for you. I will handle your children for you. I will handle any affair for you, right? They can't just come in and just authorize themselves. They have to be authorized. But Allah Ta'ala, he doesn't need any authorization. He's already taken the control of the affairs upon us. It is our job, whether we want to engage in that, we accept that, but Allah has already taken the affairs from the moment that before we were born till now, till the end, right? All the environment around us, Allah Ta'ala is allowing us to survive here, and he's created that without our permission. Without permission, he's already done that. Furthermore, trustees have another two types. The first, a trustee who fulfills part of his duties. The second, he who fulfills his duties entirely. Right? So that person that is able to, that you entrust with, he may be only to fulfill a part or piece of that duty. Well, Allah Ta'ala will fulfill the entire, all of the responsibilities. So therefore he concludes, وَالْوَقِيلُ الْمُطْلَقُ هُوَ الَّذِي تَوَكَّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْأُمُورِ وَهُوَ مَلِيٌّ بِالْقِيَامِ بِهَا وَفِيٌّ بِإِتْمَامِهَا وَذَلِكَ هُوَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَقَطْ. Therefore, the ultimate wakil is he who is deserving of being entrusted with all matters, can carry them out, and honors his promise to do so with perfection, and such a wakil can only be Allah. Allah al-wakil. So that is the name of al-wakil. Now, how do we connect with him? How do we connect? Wakil is tied to tawakkul, right? Because wakil is the person that you're entrusting. And that process of having trust in a person, that's called tawakkul. And that's the concept that we know, even in other languages, we've taken that word and we've adopted it. So it's an Arabic word, but you'll find this word in many languages in the Muslim lands. Why? Because it's such an important concept. So we have this idea of tawakkul, of reliance. So Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he says tawakkul. صدق الاعتماد القلب على الله تعالى في استجلاب المصالح ودفع المضار من أمور الدنيا والآخرة. The true inner dependency upon Allah in reaping goodness and repelling harm in relation to both the worldly affairs and those of the hereafter. So صدق الاعتماد القلب, the true inner dependency upon Allah in reaping goodness and taking and getting anything that's good, and repelling harm in relation to both the worldly affairs and those of the hereafter. Accordingly, it is evident that tawakkul is not so much an action of the outer as much as it is one of the inner, a state of the heart. It therefore follows that taking the practical measures to fulfill a task should not contradict reliance upon Allah in the least. Instead, It is about one whose limbs are connected to the worldly means, while his heart is connected to none other than Allah, seeing, believing, and depending on Him alone. This is the essence of tawakkul. So this is very important, because sometimes we have this idea of tawakkul, when the moment you say tawakkul, it's like you're just unknown factor. That you're just like, that means you have no game plan. You have no action. You're just like, I'm relying on Allah, Allah will take care of it. If you don't make a game plan, that's not called tawakkul. The ta'attul. That means you're just relying, you're not making any plans. So it's very important, because the Muslim actually is the one that makes a lot of plans and makes a lot of preparation for whatever he's going to do. And this is, if you look at a Muslim and someone else that doesn't rely on Allah, the plan should be very similar. You know, this is where we kind of get confused. We think that somehow tawakkul means no planning. Tawakkul means no planning. No. Tawakkul means you plan. You plan just like somebody in your situation that looked at the scenario, the circumstances, would plan. But that's where the similarity ends. Because what happens now is that normally when you plan, you start out initially and you work on it, and then you have some feedback mechanism, right? And then you say, okay, we got to adjust our plan. Or we have to, you know, focus on that. That's where it departs. Because when you're looking without Allah Ta'ala, without the means that Allah Ta'ala can provide us, then we're only limited to utilizing the means that are around us, right? The sabab that are around us. And the entire discussion in the worldly, in the dunyawi world, right? In the dunyawi, when we go back into our work, and it's just how to utilize the means available to us to accomplish our goal. And then, based on that, we constantly iterate and figure out what to do. But tawakkul, when we rely on Allah, it opens up other asbab that are not in our control necessarily, that are not even thought about, that are waiting to help us, but we'd never access them. So the results are very different. The results are very different, and the duration is also different. Because anything, a planning of this world is limited to this world, right? But our planning has a higher level to it, because we're thinking about the dunya as well the akhirah. So that's why when we further go in our plans, you see that there's all these other mechanisms that come into play that may not come to play when you don't believe in Allah, that you don't rely on Allah. Look, I was just looking, I was going past a forest preserve the other day, and as I look at what they were doing. So they used to have this empty field, and it was, you know, just empty field, people would play. Now what they've did in the past month is they put solar panels. They put solar panels. So now I'm thinking, subhanAllah, like all this time the sun has been hitting that, you know, same ground, and they've only harnessed whatever they've harnessed it with, which is not much, just the grass is growing. But now with the solar panels, they're getting the same sun. It's not like extra sun is coming on them, right? But they're able to harness that. Why? Because now they have a means of accessing energy in a way that will be beneficial for them, right? So we can understand those type of things. Well, there's another realm to us, the unseen world. Don't you think that Allah Ta'ala, He has created such a perfect world with such perfect harmony, that the unseen world is also in that manner? That He has angels that do things according to orders, and they unlock things and they switch things, and they have some capability of manipulating and helping and benefiting mankind and benefiting the earth. It's constantly happening, except we don't see it. We have to have tawakkul that this mechanism exists. And the fact that we are engaged in this dunya, in the seen world, that gives us ability to understand there can be the same thing in the unseen world. And there is. So that person that has tawakkul, all of a sudden, the same amount of energy is coming in, but the input is different. Input is same, but now the output is different. Right? So the mechanism, when you say, I have tawakkul Allah, it opens up the doors to so many things in the unseen world that will aid to your help. So subhanAllah, I mean, that is if we start to think like that, then our level of achievement will become higher. And it has to be. The Muslim has to be a super achiever. A super achiever. Why? Because we're not just looking about the mundane aspect, right? This limited growth in the dunya. We're thinking about how to grow with our deen and get to Jannah in a safe and easy manner, right? So every Muslim, no matter what circumstance they're in, they always have to think more than the person that just fixated in the dunya. So how can you balance all of these things? That's where tawakkul comes in. Tawakkul comes in because you are trying to make the same game plan as somebody else. You want to achieve a certain amount of financial freedom from your work, right? You want to achieve a certain amount of progress with your family, with your career, with your education. But for what reason? Right? So you can serve Allah Ta'ala in a different capacity. You can utilize your energy. You can do great things for the deen. Right? So because you have the additional intention, you need to take these additional asbab. You have to have tawakkul and you will achieve. That's why when you look at the examples of our prophets and all of the pious of the past, they had super ambition. They had super ambition. And that's why they utilized these azkar, because they were doing the best of their ability and then they sought help from Allah Ta'ala. Because their goal was so great. And each of one of our goals is also great. The fact that we're living, we have a goal that's much greater than normal people that don't believe in Allah, that don't believe in Akhirah. You don't have to be an alim for this. Any person in any circumstances already has a higher goal because he is thinking or she is thinking about the afterlife. So that goal is already hard to get to, right? So we have to constantly rely on Allah, that Allah Ta'ala will allow these means to have barakah and will expand our means to do the things that we want to do. So some of the examples that we find regarding this from the prophets. Prophet Musa alayhi salam was a man who had tawakkul on Allah. Yet he was commanded by Allah to undertake the worldly measures by escaping Egypt at night. Right? If you think that, well, he's a prophet, he can just stand up, let my people go, let's go, and, you know, Allah Ta'ala will help. Yes, he had that belief, but he was still ordered to go at night when would be the best time to escape from an enemy under the darkness of night. Right? So he was ordered there. Even when he was before, at the time of getting prophethood, he understood he had some limitation with his speech. That's why at that time he requested his brother to help him in the task of delivering the message. Right? So there was always that figure, how can I best achieve my task? So you see that preparation on the part of the prophets. We look at Nuh alayhi salam, who was a man that had tawakkul on Allah. Yet he too was commanded by Allah to take the worldly measures. Consequently, in preparation for the incoming flood, he constructed an ark. He constructed the ship. It could have been that Allah Ta'ala saves. How Ibrahim alayhi salam was saved in the fire. So Allah Ta'ala can do that, but he was ordered to build the ship, right? So to make the necessary preparations. Maryam alayhi salam, in the pangs of labor, she needed something to eat. She still had to shake the tree, right? It's not like the tree just came with the dates. It could have. Allah Ta'ala could have made it. Hajar alayhi salam had complete trust in Allah, because when Ibrahim alayhi salam went to leave, then she asked, are you commanded to do so? And then she said, yes. He said, yes. Then she said, Allah Ta'ala will not waste us. So therefore, she had that trust. But what did she do? When Ismail alayhi salam needed the water, she ran back and forth. The sa'i, right? Literally, it's the striving for looking for the water. After the last round, then the water came. So the effort has to be there. So the Muslim should eliminate this idea that I don't have to plan, I don't have to make effort, I just say tawakkul, I'm sitting in the masjid, everything will happen. You come to the masjid to connect to Allah, but you still have to go out and make the means, right? You have to worry about the means, and you have to plan accordingly. It is also true that our own very own Prophet Muhammad, the most reliant upon Allah from all creation, also took worldly measures for a safe passage from Mecca during the night of Hijrah. And here, at least 10 points have been mentioned when he went for the Hijrah. Number one, the Prophet ﷺ left his home at night. He left his home at night. Number two, he would stay at the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu until most of the night passed. So they had like this contingency plan, they were preparing already. And he would stay most of the time at Hazrat Abu Bakr's house and come back. Is it the night where I have to leave? There was a planning there. Number three, they exited his house from a rear exit. They exited his house from a rear exit. Number four, they travel along the coast, a longer but a safer path for them. Right? One was a direct route, but they took another route, which was a bit longer. Number five, they hired a guide. They didn't go by it themselves. Number six, they travel southwards for the first leg of the journey in the opposite direction of Medina to lose the trackers. Right? So they went south first in the wrong direction. Why? As a means of losing the trackers. Number seven, they hid in the cave for 3 days. Right? They took the means of hiding. Number eight, Abdullah, the son of Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, would gather intelligence for them during the day and convey it to them by night. So they had somebody that assess the situation and report back to them so they can make the future, the next step. Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, radiallahu anha, would provide them with food. Number 10, Amir ibn Fuhayra, Abu Bakr's shepherd, would steer his flock to erase all footsteps leading up to the cave. Right, so they had the goats, herding goats over there, so then there will be no footsteps. Because the Arabs are very good at identifying things just by the footstep. So that's a plan. That's tawakkul with the planning, right? So that is what we need to look at. Subhanallah. If we think about it, then we have to use all the means that are available to us. Except thinking that there are other means that are going to be to our aid that we cannot access normally. So even after all of this, what happened? They were so close to finding them. Then Allah Ta'ala brought that miracle where the spider web came and the egg nest was there. So then they couldn't think that it'd be that they were behind this cave because the nest and the spider was not disturbed. But how do you get to that point? All these other steps before that. Right? So that's why when we are having tawakkul and we are expecting the means of Allah Ta'ala to help us, the unseen means, we have to utilize and exhaust all of the available means to us. That is part of tawakkul. If we get that idea, alhamdulillah, that is the main point of tawakkul here that I've been discussing. Therefore, it is evident that tawakkul is a path that has two slopes on either side of it. The one who relies solely on the means, having disbelieved in Allah, would fall down on one side of the slope, right? Because he's not using all the means. He's using just the means that he doesn't access the limitless number of means that are outside of his disposal because he's not accessing Allah and he's not accessing the mechanism that Allah has given to allow those means to be used. So that's one side. The one who completely disregards the means would fall the other side of the slope. Right, the believer that just says tawakkul to Allah and doesn't use any means will follow the other side. Tawakkul requires one to tread the path between them both, as worldly means are acted upon outwardly, but Allah is relied upon inwardly. This is important. You are using the means, but inwardly you have that idea that I'm using all my energy, all my planning, all my thinking to achieve a certain goal. But at the end, Allah Ta'ala will realize that goal. And He may use those means, or He may provide other means. And He will get the results done. So we have to give, we make the effort, but the results we leave into Allah. So the person should not have complete trust in his own efforts, nor should become proud over the efforts that he's made. Right? Because the actual result is pending. But that also means that we should not be afraid of doing difficult things, of hard things. of things that people say impossible, right? When they're looking at the means. Because al-wakil is the trustee. He's the ultimate accomplisher. He's the one, Allah Ta'ala, that will accomplish the intention that we have. Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَاتَّخِذُوا وَكِيلًا. So take him as a wakil. But before that, رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَاتَّخِذُوا وَكِيلًا. He's mentioned, he is the Lord of the East and the West. There's no God but he. But the Lord of the East and West is taking care of everything that we see. So that is reminding us, now you can take him as your wakil because he's already taking care of the affairs of the entire universe. And this was, in Surah Muzammil, it was a Makki surah. So Allah Ta'ala is training the Prophet ﷺ from the very beginning that you have a big mission. You are Rahmatul Alameen. You have to guide humanity. There'll be no prophet after you. But take Allah Ta'ala as a wakil and your task will be accomplished. So that means for us that we have to elevate our game. We have to elevate the intention that we have in whatever capacity that we're at, that we should try to do more with what we have. And we make that intention and have tawakkul, and inshallah you achieve amazing things. Just look at how we're sitting. You know, I talk about it time and over again. Are we in a Muslim land? We're far away from Makkah and Medina. We're far away from the Muslim lands. Yet,